We want to welcome you here if you're watching on Facebook Live. Do you realize that there's hundreds of people watching on Facebook Live this morning? And we want to personally welcome you and acknowledge you as our way of saying thanks to you just by saying welcome. And we hope that you're enjoying this time together wherever you are. And for those of you that are here today worshiping under the shade, it's so good to see everybody here today. Again, if that car gets too hot or if that shady spot moves because of the sun moving, these picnic shelters are pretty nice. You guys like these picnic shelters? Is it working out good for you? See, I told you, I would not steer you wrong. Very good. Hey, let me just real quick, and I'll announce this again at the end of the service, but let me just say that next Sunday, we're going to move our service back to 10 o'clock instead of 10:30. It'll make it a little bit cooler. The sun will be a little bit less in the middle of the sky. So all of you who are watching on Facebook Live, all of you that are listening here and the sound of my voice here, instead of coming at 10:30, come at 10 o'clock. Or actually come a little earlier than that so we can get a good parking space. Usually it would be a good seat, but never going to get a good parking space. So 10 o'clock. What time does it start next week? 10 o'clock. Very good. That's 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, so just there's no confusion. All right. Hey, how many again is glad to be in the house of the Lord? Isn't it good to be back together with brothers and sisters in the Lord? We have missed seeing you guys, missed seeing everybody here. And let me just say this to you. I'm getting tangled up in my cord here. God help me. I'll just stay still. I was going to say something. I can't remember. That cord messed me up. Anyway, hey, God is still in control. God is still in control. God is still in control. Say that with me. God is still in control. No matter what chaos that we see with our physical eyes, I want you to realize that there's a conquest and a victory that we can't see that's soon to be experienced and realized here on the face of this earth. I want to tell you a story that sets this up this morning as an example. Back in 1982, the Wisconsin Badgers football team was playing a game in October against the Michigan State Spartans, and the Badgers were not doing so well. And the people in the crowds began to shout and cheer at the most inopportune times, not necessarily when the Badgers did anything good. Their home team was losing, and yet there was this weird sort of thing happening in the crowds, cheering that was taking place. But what the players and the others there didn't realize is those that had transistor radios were at the same time as they were watching the football game before them, were also listening to a radio broadcast of the Milwaukee Brewers playing in game 4 of the St. Louis Cardinals, where the Milwaukee Brewers were winning against the Cardinals. So every time that the Brewers would score a run, there would be a cheer in the crowd of the football stadium, even though the Badgers were not doing well. It was a funny dichotomy of what was going on there. The fans were listening to the radios. They were tuned into the frequency of a game that they couldn't see, but they knew that they were winning. Are you with me on this? Do you understand where we're going in this? So what they could see wasn't going well, what they couldn't see was a great victory. And folks, that's what's going on in our world today. There's a great victory that we can't see that's taking place in the heavenlies because God is still in control. What we see with our eyes seems like God's team is losing. But if we tune into heaven's frequency, we can be assured that a great victory is assured. Folks, today I want to declare to you with certainty that God is winning and that we're on the winning side. We're assured victory. Amen? You know, if we constantly listen to the news, we're going to get so sidetracked and discouraged. There was a wife one time asked a husband, "Honey, do you want to watch the news at 6 p.m. and get indigestion? Or do you want to watch it at 11 p.m. and get insomnia?" Folks, there's just no good news out there. A steady diet of bad news is going to mess us up. And it's going to get our eyes off of what God's Word says. But if we keep our eyes fixed on the author and the finisher of our faith, and we stay focused on His good news, we're going to keep our hearts filled with peace and live with the assurance that God has got this. And in the end, He wins, and therefore we win. You know, in these last days, we can either focus on the chaos that we can see, or we can focus on the conquest and the victory that we can't see. It's all about staying tuned in to heaven's frequency. That same radio or smart device that you're listening to right now, if you're in your cars right now, you're listening to a radio station, 88.3. If you're watching right now on Facebook Live, you're maybe using a smart device, an iPad, your computer, some way, somehow. Whatever it is that you're using right now, you can also use to listen to talk radio tomorrow. Or you can use to listen to some sort of news broadcast tomorrow. And that same radio, that same device that you're listening to this good news today can also bring you down into a place of despair and discouragement. I want to challenge you with this today. If you remember nothing else today, I want to challenge you with this one thing. For every minute that you listen to bad news, for every minute that you fill yourself up with the stuff that's going on out there that's bringing discouragement and chaos and heartache and anxiety to you, spend 2 minutes in God's Word. Spend 2 minutes in His presence. Spend 2 minutes revolved around who He is in prayer, and then allow the Holy Spirit to recalibrate your spirit man to His heavenly frequency. Amen? Amen? It will do you well this week if you do that. Folks, it may look like God's losing, but that's only because you're looking with your eyes to all that's going on. But as you tune into heaven's frequency, you'll realize it's just the opposite. And I want us to look for just a moment, if you have your Bibles with you, at Psalm chapter 1 and Psalm chapter 2. We're not going to read all of the verses in Psalm chapter 1, nor are we going to read all the verses in Psalm chapter 2. But I wanted you to realize that those two chapters in the book of Psalms answers the two most important questions that you and I have today. The two most important questions that mankind has today are answered in the first two books of Psalms. And the rest of Psalms is set up as a result of it. And really, the rest of our lives are set up as a result of it. The first question that all of mankind is asking is, where am I going? Where am I going? Where am I headed personally? Where am I going? And that's answered in chapter 1 of Psalm. The second question that all of the world is asking is, where is the world headed? Where is the world going? And that's answered in chapter 2. Real quick, I want to look at chapter 1 and help you to understand this, because if you look at it, chapter 1 of Psalms begins with the word blessed and ends with the word cursed. Really interesting. It lays out very clearly, the book of Psalm chapter 1 lays out very clearly two paths that all of us have to choose. There's either the way of righteousness, which is blessed, or it's the way of wickedness, which is cursed. We're either blessed with forgiveness of sins and restored to relationship with God our Father through the finished work of Jesus Christ as we place our faith in Him, and then we have an eternity assured for us in heaven, or we're cursed with the eternal separation from Him in a place called hell that was not made for you. It wasn't made for me. It was made for Satan and his demons, but by default, we will go there if we reject the Lord Jesus and His free gift that He offers to us today. All of mankind falls in one of these two categories. There's no in-between. There's no do-overs. And depending on the decision that you make today on either saying yes to Jesus or no to Jesus will answer the first question in your life of where you're going. And I'll answer it for you. It's either heaven or it's hell. Let me encourage you today to belong to the community of the righteous through placing your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. So that's chapter 1. And I'm spending just a few moments there with that because I really want to drill down into chapter 2 here this morning and let you see what's going on in the world today. I've made a post on Facebook the other day that said, hey, listen, if you'll tune in today, I'm going to help to give you a perspective of what God's Word says about what's going on in the chaos of the world today. It may seem like God is losing, but He's not. He's winning. And Psalm chapter 2 shows us where this world is headed. And where we as humanity are headed. Chapter 1 tells us where we're going. Chapter 2 tells us where the world is going. And so in these last days, and I believe that we're squarely in the last of the last of the last of the last days. If you believe that, honk your horn. In these last days, we must have a biblical worldview to keep us encouraged and stay focused so that we can live a life of expectant and joyful hope and not despair and not anxiety and not fear and not worry. Psalm chapter 2 is God's decisive declaration of the outcome of world events. It's a prophetic chapter. There's no greater comfort in these chaotic times to know where the world, where our world is headed, and that who's in control of it, and that his triumph is certain. Amen? So Psalm 2, it begins with this chaos that we see. And really, it's a statement that sums up the battle of the ages. It started from the very beginning of time, the very beginning of man's creation, this battle line that was exposed between man's rebellion and rejection of God's sovereignty. It says in chapter 2, in the first couple of verses, it says, "Let us break the chains and free ourselves from the slavery of God." I find it very interesting that the flesh and the world's way considers that serving God, submitting to God, yielding to God, in their mind, it's slavery to God. They labeled it as slavery instead of submission. They labeled it as something negative instead of something that is really positive and needed. The fact is that we're slaves to somebody. We're submitted to somebody. We're yielded to somebody, no matter what, no matter who you are. But the cry is in chapter 2 of Psalms is, "Let us break those chains and free ourselves from the slavery of God." All around and for all of ages, man has desired to rid himself from God. We see it. Lost humanity hates God. Lost humanity hates the Jesus that is the true Jesus. It shows up in big ways. It shows up in small ways over the centuries. But the undercurrent has always been a desire to want to do things in rebellion and separated from God. What our flesh wants more than anything else is freedom from God. That's the heart. That's at the heart of sin. It's a rejection of God's rule in favor of our own. The lost don't want God to reign over them. They want what they want with no restraints. That's why we see so many people act out in so many ways. The sexual freedoms that are going on in our nation in these last few decades. The lifestyle freedoms that have been going on, and they're just getting worse. Relational freedoms, intellectual freedoms, don't tell me how to think, and on it goes. We want to decide if there's a God, little g, and we want, and if there is, we want to decide and determine what kind of little g God that he is. But folks, I'm here to tell you today that we can't truly be complete unless we have the one true God in our hearts. Unless we submit to the one true God, the creator of everything seen and unseen. An old Scottish theologian said one time, "The first duty of every soul is to find not its freedom, but its master." As I said earlier, you're going to serve somebody. But lost humanity wants it the other way around, doesn't it? Lost humanity wants it their way. The more we pursue that sort of freedom, though, the more enslaved that we're going to become to that we think we're free to do. What it's going to result in is chaos. What's going to result in is this unrestrained rebelliousness against God that we live in is going to make a world gone wild and a world gone mad take place. And aren't we seeing that happen today? Amen? When people lose God, they lose themselves. And Romans 1, chapter 18, verses 18 through 32 lays out the very tragic consequences of defying God and his son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to pull out a few phrases from these verses here. It describes these sort of people that defy God in this way. Claiming to be wise, they instead become utter fools, since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God. So God abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. And as a result, their lives became full of every kind of wickedness. Now, folks, we've got a front row seat to humanity's rebellion against God. Open rebellion. It's not subtle anymore. It's just blatant out there. And our job is not just to observe it from afar and go, "That is a shame. Oh, that is so a shame. Oh, that's just too bad." That's not our job. That's not our job to just be observers to this tragedy. We've been placed here, folks, for such a time as this to represent Christ in the midst of this chaos. Folks, we're players in this game. We're ambassadors of Christ, doing all that we can, while we can, when we can, to rescue all that we can from this uprising and open rebellion. That's our job. That's what we've been called to do. It's not an option. As I said last Sunday, the Holy Spirit's main two jobs in believers is He wants to make us more like Christ so that we can represent Him more effectively to a lost and dying world. That's what Pentecost was all about when it took place and when we celebrated it last week and as we live it out every single day. Oh God, we're Pentecostals, amen? But are we worshiping the Pentecostal experience instead of realizing what Pentecost is all about, and that is to be filled so that we can go out and make a difference? It's not just speaking in tongues. It's not just the interpretation of tongues. It's not all the manifestations of the Spirit as we're dancing before the Lord as corporate gatherings on Sunday. No, I mean, that's all good and fine. I was raised in it. I'm fine with that. But if that's all there is in the four walls of the church, then we've sorely missed the mark of what Pentecost is all about. It's the experience of the Holy Spirit in us, Christ's Spirit in us, that impacts the lives of those around us and breaks them from their bondages and the lifestyle of rebellion that they're in, that they would submit to the Lord Jesus Christ as we speak the life and the good news of Jesus Christ into their lives. You know, Scripture says it's only going to get worse as we see the day approaching. I hope that you don't think this morning that if we just pray and pray really hard and get together and pray and pray and pray, that things are going to get better. They're not. I hate to be a Debbie Downer here this morning. No offense to the Debbies. But I hate to be a bearer of bad news here. But the bad news is that it is going to get worse because the Bible says so. But we can make a difference with this person in front of me. I can't maybe make a difference with someone halfway around the world. I'm not responsible for someone I don't know and I can't see. But as I pray for someone that's right here in front of me, and as I speak into their lives and minister to them, I can make a difference with them. And so, yeah, if things are going to get worse. But we've been called. We can make a difference with the person that God places in front of us. And so let's do that, amen? Let's do that this week. As we see this whole thing played out before us, we got to keep that frequency dialed to the invisible victory that we can't see but we're assured of, amen? So real quick here, let's look at the rest of Psalm chapter 2. As we see that open rebellion, let's get those chains freed, that slavery from God. That's the cry of the fleshly, worldly heart of people that are not submitted to God, that need to be, that must be, that will be in faith, I declare it. But as we see the rest of Psalm chapter 2 unfold, we actually see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit respond to that statement. The statement of saying, let's free ourselves from the bondage of the chains of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit actually responds to this in Psalm chapter 2. And it starts with God the Father. And you know what He does? He openly mocks them. It says here, the one who rules in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. In other words, he's looking at this open rebellion and he's saying, is that the best you got? Is that all you got? Is that all you got? He looks at this puny rebellion and he's unfazed. He's unimpressed. All the rebellion that mankind can muster is like a drop in the bucket to God. It's nothing to Him. Folks, God is sovereign. God is in control. And as much as we'd like to see Him come and make things right now. Wouldn't that be great if He would just come and make things right now? But in His mercy, He's waiting because His timing is perfect. And He's got a time. He's got a time. He's got a moment where He's going to say, enough is enough. And He's going to send Jesus down and say, go get the bride. Go get my children. But until then, His mercy is being poured out. Until then, we have this opportunity to share Christ with others. So he's openly mocking, and His timing, but His timing is perfect. Even though we like to see this thing be fixed right now, one day He's going to make it right. And because He says so, actually, in verse 6 of chapter 2 of Psalms, He says, I placed my chosen king on the throne in Jerusalem on my holy mountain. That's a prophetic statement. What God was saying was, I've already placed, in fact, keep it in mind, He's not saying, I will one day place my chosen king on the throne. You catch me there? I will one day. No, He says, I have. It's already done. Jesus has already been placed on the throne. He's already the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords today. Let me say that again. Jesus is already the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords today. It's not one day He's going to ascend His throne. He already has. God has already placed the chosen king on the throne in Jerusalem on his holy mountain. That's Jesus. And it doesn't say that one day he will. It says that he's already done it. It's as good as done. Nothing will stand in the way of God's will being accomplished. It may seem like that God is losing, but he's winning. It may seem like that God is losing, but he's winning. So here's the next part. We see God's response. He mocks. He laughs. He's like, okay, whatever. I'm going to take care of what I'm going to do. And what you guys got going against me is not going to make a hill of beans. But then now here comes Jesus into the conversation. Here's his response. When Jesus comes back to earth the second time, it won't be as a baby in a manger, meek and lowly. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. I mean, that sounds very sweet and very poetic. And maybe that did happen in that way. I don't know. But all I know is that Jesus is not going to come back as a little innocent baby, a little helpless innocent baby. The next time he returns, he's going to come back as the mighty conquering warrior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's going to come back and sweep away the rebellion and destroy their efforts. Like verse 9 says, it says in verse 9 of chapter 2 of Psalm, you're going to break them with an iron rod and smash them like clay pots. In other words, have you ever broken a clay pot? Anybody ever broken a clay pot? I mean, it's kind of easy to do if you accidentally kick it or hit it with something hard. He's going to just come with his iron scepter. And he's going to break every bit of rebellion like little clay pots. It's going to be nothing to him. When Jesus comes back, he's going to come in victory. He's going to come as the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. He's going to remove the sin and restore the earth to paradise. So let's not, listen to this. Let's not tolerate now what Jesus won't tolerate then. Let me get more specific. What is in your life today that needs to be removed? Now, because if Jesus is not going to tolerate sin then, he's not going to tolerate sin. We shouldn't tolerate sin now. Let's remove now what Jesus is going to remove then. Let's not be ruled by a world that will someday be ruled by Christ. Amen? God help us with that. So that's Jesus' response. And finally, the Holy Spirit gets into the act. He says, I got something to do here with this too. Listen to this. Now, we know that the Holy Spirit's job description, his main job for sinners, outside of our lives, we're to be more like Christ, we can proclaim Christ. But for sinners, his main job is to draw people to Christ. In this final section of Psalm, chapter 2, we see from the Holy Spirit an invitation to those who would turn away from rebellion and turn towards Jesus. He says, be warned. Serve the Lord with reverent fear and rejoice with trembling. Submit to God's Son or you will be destroyed. What joy for all who take refuge in Him. That's the Holy Spirit inviting us. That's the Holy Spirit saying, hey, you can choose this path and it'll be a path of destruction. Or you can choose the way of Christ and it'll be a path of victory. It'll be a path of rejoicing. It'll be a path of blessing. The Holy Spirit is actually inviting you and I today. And those that are walking in rebellion, those that are yielded to the world's ways. He's saying, listen, why don't you come to Jesus? Be warned. Submit to God or you're going to be destroyed. That's the Holy Spirit saying that to us today. But what joy it is for all who take refuge in Him. You know, Jesus came the first time to pour out His mercy. But Jesus is going to come back the second time to pour out His wrath. And I don't want to be here for that, do you? You know, the end times events are lining up, folks. And just like the Bible says they would, it's happening one by one. 2020 has been some more year, and it's only the first part of June. The stage is being set. The moment is about upon us, I believe. All the signs of the times are pointing to the return, to the soon return of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus is the earth's only hope. Jesus is your only hope. Jesus is my only hope. One day in heaven, those who submitted to Jesus on earth will confess the Lord gladly. And those who've rejected Him will confess Him regretfully. But the Bible does say that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So are you going to confess Him gladly as His Lord, as your Lord and Savior? Are you going to confess Him regretfully because you chose to reject Him? You know, you can't understand history apart from Jesus Christ. Jesus alone holds the keys to the meaning of history. All of history is wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. All of history is headed to the feet of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? As I said earlier, the rebellious and repentant alike are all going to one day bow before him and confess with their tongues, Jesus is Lord. Everyone that is listening here today, your tongue will confess it, either joyfully or regretfully. You know, Jesus is in total control of the present. He's in total control of the future. It may look like evil is progressing unchecked and humanity's rebellion is winning, but there's an invisible victory that is real and will soon manifest itself on earth. Just tune in to heaven's frequency and you'll know. So let's rest today in knowing what's coming and who's coming in the future. God has already announced how the story's going to end. I've read the end of the book, and we win. Satan loses, and God wins, and we're on the winning side. Amen? Amen? Honk your horns, and let's rejoice in the Lord this morning. Clap your hands. Let's shout to the Lord praise. We're on the winning side. Folks, all of us who placed our faith and trust in Jesus are going to live happily ever after in heaven with him. So don't get caught up in the chaos that you see. But instead, tune into the frequency of heaven today. By the way, there's a 10-second delay for some, and so that's what's happening. They're not being rude on purpose, okay? Let me close out by saying this, a quote from Corrie ten Boom, a beautiful woman who was held captive in the Holocaust. She was a Jewish young girl who survived the Holocaust, and she ended up surviving it and then turning out to be a minister, a great minister of the gospel for many, many years. She said this phrase, and I think it's very poignant and meaningful to where we are today. She said it this way, look at yourself and you'll get depressed. Look at the world and you'll get distressed. But look to Jesus and you'll find rest. I love that. Let's look to Jesus today. Amen? Amen. Today's invisible victory will soon become God's invincible victory. Come on, let's praise him one more time. Amen. One more time, let's praise him. So we're not finished here, but I want to invite some people up right now as we continue with our service here today. And if you will, I need the camera to be pulled back a little bit so that we can see them. And I want the people that I call their names, I want you to line up in the shade here as I call your name, okay? And space yourself out a little bit, a little social distancing. But today we're honoring our graduates. And they're not just graduates from high school and college, but they're also graduating from Crossroads to the youth group. And so we're so excited to have these people here today. Most of them are here. One of them wasn't able to come. We're going to acknowledge her as well. But as I call your names, would you come up and just line yourself up? Nate Shive, would you come up here and just stand right up over here, if you will? He's graduating from high school. And God bless you, Nate. He's such a wonderful young man. We've seen him grow up from, oh my goodness, he was just a little kid. But congratulations, Nate. Stay right there, if you will. Gracie Ramsey, also, if you will. Come on up here and just line up, if you will, behind Nate, if you can. And just that way, line up in the shade there. She's also graduating from high school. Congratulations to you, Grace. We love you and your family. There you go. Also, we want to invite Maggie Feltman to come up. Maggie, if you will. Why don't you, if you can, maybe also line up on this side, if there's a way that you can do that. Kind of start lining up this way. Maggie's graduating from college. Yeah, look at that. Congratulations to you, Maggie. And then also we want to bring up some of the young people that are moving up from Crossroads to Youth. Williana White, Anna Lee Feltman, and Susanna Ferreira. All three of you, if you will, come up. And just line yourself up next to Maggie, if you will, on this side. And also, who couldn't be here tonight this morning was Layla Pink. She's also graduating into Youth. And I want you to look how beautiful these young people are and how God has blessed this church with some wonderful young people. Would you give them an applause of congratulations as we honor them today? And the graduates, this is not just for you, but this is for everybody listening here today. And I want you, if you will, to turn and a little bit face me, if you will, all of you graduates, because I want to speak into your life for just a moment. Now, if I were to hold a football in my hand, a professional NFL football, it would be worth about $75 in my hand. Now, I'm not a football player, so it wouldn't be worth but just about $75 in my hand. But in the hand of a professional football player quarterback, it's worth tens of millions of dollars. That same football goes from $75 to tens of millions of dollars in value. A basketball, again, don't ask me to be on your team, but if I were to hold a basketball in my hand right now, it would be worth a professional, not an NFL, what is the basketball? NBA basketball. I was going to say NFL again, I know that one right, the NBA. An NBA basketball is worth about $65. It'd be worth about that in my hand, maybe even less, honestly, $65. But in the hands of a professional NBA player, it's worth tens of millions of dollars. Same basketball, $65, tens of millions. No matter what I might be holding in my hand today, whether it be a basketball, a football, a baseball, a golf club, in my hands, it's worth the value of what that particular item costs because I'm not a professional athlete. But in the hands of the professional athletes, those items are worth tens of millions of dollars. I say this because when you think about what Jesus did, in the hands of Jesus, he took some ordinary water and he turned it into the best tasting wine that any wedding party ever tasted. In the hands of Jesus, he took from a little boy some loaves and fishes, just a few items, and he fed a multitude, thousands of people, with many, 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 many baskets of leftovers to spare. My point is this. You may not feel like that you're worth much in your own, as you stand before the Lord here today. The value of who you are is valuable, and you are a valuable person. But if you place your lives in the hands of Jesus, the value of your life becomes exponentially greater. As you're graduating from high school, as you're graduating from college, as you're moving up into youth, if you're listening here today in the sound of my voice, and there's a graduate out there that's listening as well, as you, and all of us here today, folks, whether we're graduate or not, as we place our hands in the life, as we place our life in the hands of Jesus, the value of who we are becomes exponentially greater in His hands. And what we do for Him and how we live for Him will become exponentially greater as we yield to Him. And I want to encourage not only you as graduates, but also everyone listening here today to place your hands in the life of Jesus. Because as you do, you'll become exponentially more powerful, more effective, and greater as you place your lives in the hands of Christ. Now, we've given some certificates to those that are going up into from Crossroads to Youth. Maggie, we gave you a card with a gift card in it. And also, for both of you, we gave you guys a Bible from the church that we've signed some special things inside, wrote some special things inside for you. And I want all of us, if you will, to extend your hands out to these folks, to these young people that are here today. And I don't know if some of you parents want to come up that are representing some of these kids too. Feel free to do that as well. But let's just pray over these young people, if you will. Father God, we lay our hands before these people, an extension of you. And we pray, Lord Jesus, you would watch over them. Lord, those that are being promoted from Crossroads into Youth, from high school into college, and from college into the real world, into the working world, into those careers. God, keep your hand over them and help them, Lord God, to yield their lives to you. In your hands, who we are becomes exponentially greater and more powerful. May that be each of our hearts' cry today and our hearts' desire to yield to you all that we are and all that we ever hope to be. Father God, we yield our lives to you today. Now, for those of you who are listening with every eye closed and every head bowed, I want to invite you today, as you heard me preach this message, and Christians, I need you to pray. If you will, I just need you to just listen to me in the sound of my voice here today. If you're listening on Facebook Live, if you're here and sitting in your cars, if you're out here under this pavilion, under the shady areas, if you know that you don't have Jesus in your life, if you know that you're walking even in subtle rebellion, there's an undercurrent of rebellion that has kind of been your heart's cry where you said, yeah, you know, I really feel like that I'm being in the chains and the bondage of God and I don't want that. I want to live my own life. I want to do my own way. Listen, if you're living that way, if you're thinking that way, you've embraced the ways of the world and you've allowed Satan to come and control you and to convince you that you can make it without God. And I'm here to tell you today that that's a lie. You cannot make it without God. So today, if you know that you need to yield your life to Jesus Christ, as God mocks you and says, good luck giving it a shot, and as Jesus says, wait a minute, I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and as the Holy Spirit says, be warned, you better yield your life to God, because that's the only way, that's the only truth, and that's the only life that's going to be successful for you. I want to invite you to accept Jesus in your life today. I want you to pray this prayer with me out loud, at home, in your cars, and here in this parking lot. If you need Jesus in your life, say this prayer. Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. Forgive me of my sin, my open rebellion to you, and I yield to you my heart and my life. Won't you come and forgive me of all my sins, cleanse me, and be the Lord of my life. I look forward to growing in relationship with you and to daily yielding to you every area of my life as I walk in relationship with you from this day on. Now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fill each one in this place. Refresh us, and those that received you, fill, I pray, anoint, I pray, with the Spirit and the presence of Christ so that we can become every day more like you, no matter where we are in our walk with you. Long-time seasoned veterans and newly born Christians, may we all yield every day, Holy Spirit, to more of you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You love the Lord in this place. Come on, let's give another congratulations to all these young people as they're seated. Hey, real quick, we're going to make a few announcements, and then I'm going to open up this time. And so if you will, Emma, if you could come up here. I want to open up this time for us to have a time of prayer. And so if you will, let's give you a few announcements. Hey, I know you were told this on the way in, but I want to tell you on the way out, if you're listening to me, don't honk any horns. You got to listen now. Next Sunday, we're going to start meeting at 10 o'clock instead of 10:30. I've already announced it. You've heard it. We're going to make some phone calls this week. Spread the word. If you know people, we're going to meet at 10 o'clock instead of 10:30. Still outside, still doing it like this, but as the summer wears on and it starts getting hotter, we're going to meet here about 30 minutes earlier, okay? Is the shade working for you guys over there? Yeah, you guys look like you're doing all right. But 10 o'clock starting next Sunday. What time are we going to meet next Sunday? 10 o'clock. Instead of 10:30, it's going to be 10. Bring your chairs, send it to the pavilion, stay in your car. We're going to also keep doing Facebook Live, but it starts at 10 o'clock. Hey, if you're with us this morning watching Facebook Live, give me some thumbs up and some hearts. If you enjoyed the service this morning, give me some thumbs up and some hearts. We want to thank you for tuning in this morning. We're getting ready to wrap this thing up, but I just want to thank you for tuning in with us, and I hope to see you again next Sunday. Thank you, everybody, for your continued faithfulness and your giving and your tithes and your offerings. God is blessed. We're going to keep doing our Zoom meetings with our youth and children and our small groups. And I'm going to do one more week of this survival guide, this end-time survival guide that we've been going, where God's calling us to thrive in these last days. But then I'm going to start a study on the book of Revelation. I'm very excited about this study that we're going to be starting in the next couple of weeks. It's kind of a mysterious book. I know some of us skip over Revelation. We look at it and we go, this is really weird stuff. And it is, if you're not sure about it. But you don't have to read it in a weird way. There's some very practical things in the book of Revelation that we can apply to our lives right now. It's not a mystery, but what it is it's speaking to the things of what God is getting ready to do. And I believe that as we look at it, it's going to solidify our faith in Jesus and know that God's got this. Would you say that with me? God's got this? Amen. I'm going to close out our Facebook Live audience and say thank you for coming, but I'm going to continue to open this up to the congregation here. God bless you all. We'll see you next week.